You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
That was, of course, the music to When Eddie Comes Marching Home, that little number dedicated to our co-host and former combat medic, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who put himself in harm's way last week so he could provide for this audience an eyewitness report from the Unite the Right rally. Eddie didn't march back home, but he sure drove back home, and he's here with us now in the studio along with Keith Alexander. If you missed last week's show, ladies and gentlemen, it was a program of record for TPC. About a dozen eyewitness reports from the Unite the Right rally, including Gene Andrews, who was on the front page of the Tennessean newspaper in Nashville today as the caretaker of Nathan Bedford Forrest's boyhood home. I had intended to spend tonight, all of this show, and perhaps even the next few weeks, breaking down what happened on the ground in Charlottesville. But, of course, that was before the fallout from last week's rally has become unimaginable, and that fallout will have a lasting impact on many. So we ask you to sit down, pull up a chair, tune in tonight as we unpack the events that followed Charlottesville and tell you where we stand today. Welcome to this week's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards here, Keith and Eddie in the studio, all three of us for the full 3 hours tonight, this Saturday, August 19th. Like I said, we were prepared to give Eddie a hero's welcome back to Memphis after he traveled all the way to Virginia and back to report on that event as an eyewitness for this listening audience. But the political landscape has been altered as a result of the setup in Charlottesville and the maliciously dishonest narrative being propagated by the controlled media. Some people will fall as a result of this. Heroes will rise. But make no mistake, everything has changed. Henrik Palmgren, who was on the program last week, wrote, "A witch hunt of unrivaled proportions has begun against anyone who attended the protest of the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue." He's right about that, but that's not even the half of it. So much has happened since we were last live on the air 7 days ago, I hardly know where to start. We're going to try and cover as much of it as we can this evening under the constraints of constraints of 3 hours of commercial AM radio. I had considered booking another all-star lineup this evening like we featured last week. I was going to call Richard, have him come on the show tonight. But there's no time for guests tonight. There's just too much to talk about. As I mentioned, though, Keith Alexander, Eddie, the Bombardier, both in studio for the full show this evening. So we'll go to Eddie first, as he's already mic'd up, and then we'll go to Keith. Your perspective on the situation as it stands right now, Eddie. We've had a week to reflect on what happened last week, and of course so much has happened since then, and that's what we're going to be spending the show breaking down this evening. But the lying press is of course out of control. Every bit of establishment news coverage is identical. I'm glad we had an eyewitness like you on the air to set it straight, or else it would have just been, well, we would have had to rely on their narrative, I guess. I want to read this to you, Eddie, and then you tell me whether or not this is accurate. Well, why don't you go ahead and say something while I pull it up?
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, I would like to – I will try not to cover too much of the same ground we covered last week, but I'll touch the high points on some of it. But before I go any further, I would like to thank one more time our generous donors that made it possible for the cesspool to have a representative on the ground at Charlottesville. Secondly, I would like to say what I've said before. I was embedded with some of the finest men I've ever seen in my life. Gentlemen, you were absolutely magnificent up there. You were magnificent. I've never witnessed such bravery and such control and such Christianity put in motion as I did those brave people up there under Dr. Michael Hill, the League of the South, and other, and you mentioned Gene, Mr. Gene, Marine Gene, as I call him. I had to break down and cry a few times when I saw some of our young guys, 18, 20, 19, 21 years old.
And this is really the only segment we're going to spend tonight reflecting back on what happened last week, because from this segment forward, it's going to be about everything that's happened since then. But I would like to ask you this, because this is this is an article that's come out since you returned, Eddie, from CNN, Donald Trump's incredibly unpresidential statement on Charlottesville. This is what they wrote, and I want to see if you agree with this or would like to set the record straight. CNN writes, a group of white supremacists screaming racial, ethnic, and misogynistic epithets rallied in Charlottesville, Virginia on Saturday. One person was killed, 19 others were injured when a car sped into a group of counter-protesters, as they like to call them. And this is what CNN says that I thought was one of the most reprehensible of the establishment media's news coverage. And believe me, it's been the worst I've ever seen. It wasn't both sides that screamed racist and anti-Semitic things at people with whom they disagreed.
No, it wasn't. It was one.
Hold on. They don't base a belief system on the superiority of one race over others. One side didn't get into fistfights with people who don't see things their way. They didn't create chaos and leave a trail of injured behind them. Arguing that both sides did that deeply misunderstands the hate and intolerance at the core of the Unite the Right rally. So here you have CNN blaming everything that happened exclusively on one side. One side was angelic, one side was evil, and there was no in between. And that's the narrative. And that's not just CNN. That is the entire controlled press across the board speaking in one identical voice.
Like I called and all of our representatives here in Tennessee and said, you're a bunch of liars. I was there. I invited them to call and debate me and ask me for the truth. It was one-sided. We had a permit to meet peacefully in the park. We're the only people that had a permit. And like we said last week, we were fought from the minute we stepped out of that parking garage going to Lee Park. And it wasn't just a kill box. It was a gauntlet all the way to the park. And we were met by the most virulent, most hated people you've ever seen in your life. You news people, you're lying. You know you're lying. And I don't know why. I don't know how you can sleep at night. But, yes, you're all total liars. Like I was telling Keith and James before the show, these magnificent people I saw that had the greatest restraint I've ever seen in my life, now one missile was thrown by them. Dr. Michael Hill, the 6'6" giant from the League of the South, told our people, if you throw one object, if you do anything to shed dishonor on our people, I'm going to deal with you when we get back. And I said, right on, Michael Hill, right on.
So it wasn't that our people were out there spoiling for a fight. Our leaders,
right,
at least in what you saw with your own eyes and ears, were telling them, whatever you do, do not do that or you'll answer
and
to me.
Or the sergeants, absolutely. He was just the head honcho. We had other people. We were all, these guys were all super controlled, acting like Christians would. News media, you're liars.
Right.
You know you're liars.
All right, here's how we're going to run tonight's show. No guests tonight. Too much to cover. James, Eddie, and Keith the whole hour. Or the whole show, I guess you could say the whole 3 hours. We're going to go Eddie, Keith throughout the program tonight. Alternating segments as we continue to break it down. We're going to stay on the media's treatment of this before unpacking so much more tonight, folks.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org.
That's upma.org.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I've reassessed my previous statement just before the break. I think what we'll do tonight is, because of the nature of having this much news to present to you, what we'll do is we have Eddie and Keith in for the full show, which we don't normally do. They normally split the time, but they normally come in shifts. Keith has the first shift. Eddie has the second shift. But tonight I wanted them both in for the full program. And we've actually been in the studio tonight 2 hours early to brainstorm for this. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go segment to segment, but I'm going to make sure they have equal time while assigning them segments that I think they'd be each better suited for. So it may not be alternating one by one, but we'll just see how it goes. Anyway, what we're going to be covering this hour is the media's treatment of Charlottesville as we continue to focus on the fallout from Unite the Right that's occurred in the 7 days since we were last on the air. We'll cover Trump's press conference this hour, his defense of the Confederate monuments, interesting new poll. A brand new poll on what the American citizens believe about the Confederate monuments. You don't want to miss this. And we're also going to share a very interesting personal observance that I made this week. That's all coming. That's just the first hour. And then it gets more wild. Folks, I'm going to present to you one of the most bizarre segments we've ever had in the second hour tonight. And in the third hour, Jim Lancey is going to be with us, our criminal justice correspondent, to share his thoughts on Charlottesville and the developing unrest that took place today in Boston. All that coming tonight. Please listen to the full 3 hours. You don't want to miss it. Well, we're talking right now about the media's treatment, and I want to get Keith in on this. So USA Today had an article. Let me read all of this, Keith, and then you can take it any which way you want, because I know you have a lot of thoughts you want to share. USA Today had an article condemning racism in which they presented the Black Lives Matter terrorist group as moral exemplars. So this was just one example. And then Wall Street Journal. I saw the headline of the Wall Street Journal, page A1 above the fold. The headline read, "Trump fuels race terror." All right, so this is what we're getting. The media coverage of Charlottesville, ladies and gentlemen, has been the most vile and dishonest I have ever seen in my life. And when I say that, I want you to pause for a minute and consider my career. Consider all we've been through in the political cesspool. And let that sink in. For this to be the most vile and dishonest, we have seen a lot. So that is a hell of a statement. All of the establishment media across all platforms have spoken with a single voice with regard to Charlottesville. And for whatever reason, interestingly, because we didn't have any hand in organizing the event, we sent a correspondent to cover it, as most news outlets did. There has been a huge resurgence of interest in the media in the political cesspool. The Fox News affiliate, just the other day, there is a hate group operating in your city, and it's the political cesspool. The media matters. They wrote an autobiography. If I ever write an autobiography, I'm going to copy and paste what Media Matters posted this week about me, because it was the most comprehensive thing. They have to hang. They have to actually have somebody out in the yard right now. I mean, they know everything we've said and done, which it's fine because we have nothing to hide. But the creeps there have really comprehensively detailed some of our actions, and so. CNN, though, came out with a story this week in which they recited a Southern Poverty Law Center report on hate groups operating in the United States. And, of course, the political cesspool was one of the hate groups. I guess we're a hate group of three. It's a small hate group or a radio show, much not even a group, but whatever. They say we're hateful. And but so that was interesting for CNN, of all people, to report that, because CNN, of course, as you remember, for a very short time many years ago, but it still happened, regularly featured yours truly as an on-air correspondent specifically because of my racial views. So is CNN now linked to hate? Of course, every time they hosted me, I was introduced as a conservative talk radio host instead of the white supremacist nonsense. But they treated me to first-class airfare, chauffeured limousine service, the whole nine yards. So what are they? So we have to talk about that. Now, there was a New York Times reporter by the name of Campbell Robertson. Now, I know I told people that I would do more interviews, but God help me, I reverted back to form. New York Times interview Campbell Robertson tweeted to me this week, James, what's the best way to get in touch with you to set up a phone call? And I responded to him publicly. I don't give to dogs that which is sacred, and you're lower than a dog. And so, as Keith has advised me to do, to all reporters who have called, emailed, and otherwise messaged me this week to get my comments on Charlottesville, I only do paid interviews, and it's $500 an hour. And why do them at all? Because my extensive experience has taught me that they can call me a Nazi without me having to waste my time talking to them. The key is building our own media, not trying to reach the masses through their bias slant. Keith, rest of the segment is yours. Your response to the media's treatment of this and anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, I think it's time for us to do a post-mortem on Charlottesville. Charlottesville was a very valuable experience for the Unite the Right organizers and the people who were represented among the protesters at the Unite the Right rally. Basically, what we've done is we have smoked out the left. We now know what their strategy is for dealing with right-wing dissent. They're going to basically pull out the program from 1962. It's like the New York Giants are playing the Green Bay Packers today, but they've got a program from 1962. They tell you that Bart Starr is a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, that Charlie Connerly is a quarterback for the New York Giants, and they're just misreporting the whole thing. That's what they've done, basically, by saying that the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis are supposedly the primary members of the Unite the Right coalition. I would venture a guess that they're less than 5% of the participants in the Unite the Right rally. The reason they were allowed to come is because we have learned the lesson that apparently Donald Trump is learning at the same time, which is this. The primary distinction you make in life with dealing with other people is how to distinguish a friend from an enemy. And what the people in the Unite the Right movement said is, if you are opposed to the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue from Lee Park in Charlottesville, you are welcome to join us in this protest. We're not going to do the work of the left and fracture and marginalize our opposition to this outrageous anti-First Amendment initiative to rewrite the history of the United States and to destroy Southern white Gentile culture in the process. If you might say, I want to preserve Robert E. Lee's statue, but they can take down Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue because he was a bad guy or something, we'll let that person come in here and object to the removal of Robert E. Lee's statue. On the other hand, you can say that I think that the Civil War was wrongly decided, that the South should have won, and everybody that fought for the Confederacy was a hero, and that goes for General Forrest and every lowly private up to the highest people. Well, you're welcome to come in, too. You can even have Nazi views or, you know, Ku Klux Klan views. That though everybody who supported it could come in, but
that's not a good look, though. I will be the first to say that is not a good look if we're serious about trying to get the people
need. Well, the thing is, look at what they did. I told you they took the 1962 program. Who did they interview? The one person they interviewed is David Duke, the one person that they can reach to from back in the days of yesteryear. They won't even mention the names of the current prime movers like Henrik Palmgren and Lana, like Richard Spencer, like...
Well, Richard doesn't suffer for a lack of press.
Well, he gets in there, but believe me, they did everything they could not to identify the primary actors in that. Jason Kessler's name wasn't really mentioned until that night. We'll be back with more of these comments, and we're going to break this down further after these words from our sponsor.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The American Center for Law and Justice, the ACLJ, will finally get an answer to its Freedom of Information Act request of a year ago. The group requested documents relating to former Attorney General Lynch's meeting with former President Bill Clinton. The FBI, under Director Comey, denied that there was any relevancy in the documents. Speaking for the ACLJ this week, one representative said the organization had received a letter from the FBI's chief of record saying the agency was determined it would be responsive. Texas legislators have failed to take up legislation that would prevent transgendered people from using the bathroom opposite of their actual gender. Of course, the question still remains, what is a person's actual gender? Governor Greg Abbott called a special session of the legislature to deal with 20 measures. The legislature passed 10 of them, but not the most conservative one dealing with restrooms. Business executives in Texas have lobbied hard against the legislation. Some have simply put up unisex bathrooms. LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email, LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
The point Keith was making before the last break was that the media went to David Duke because they think that they could present him as a former Klansman and this, that, like they always do. Nothing wrong with going to David Duke. He's one of the most eloquent and accomplished spokesmen our movement has. He's a very good friend of ours, a very close personal friend to me, and he was, of course, on our show last week. But the point Keith was trying to make, of course, is that they're just trotting out the same old canards, and you're right. Some of the principles were not even mentioned until later. It was just unite the right terrorist, blah blah blah. David Duke.
I'm surprised George Wallace wasn't the prime. wasn't interviewed by CNN because this is what they do. What this shows is just how completely the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, has failed in its mission. Its mission for the past 25 plus years has been to create alternative organizations that will replace the Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan in the minds of the public. They are to think that the political cesspool or American Renaissance or Red Ice TV are just the same. Well, they've had no effect on that whatsoever, so they have to go back to their old playbook, and they will. And everybody that opposes the left-wing agenda or the so-called progressive quote-unquote agenda is a racist, a bigot, an anti-Semite, in other words, and when they call you that, they have transformed you in the eyes of the public, they think, into a cockroach. And as a cockroach, you can be stepped on and squashed with impunity, and that's what they are intending to do.
Okay, I want to transition now again. So much to unpack in the fallout from Charlottesville since last Saturday night when we were last together, ladies and gentlemen. Trump's press conferences, he at least made three statements on this. The first one was lukewarm. There were extremists on both sides. We condemn hate across the board and violence from both sides. That was fine. That was fine. It was okay. Then he came back with, we condemn KKK, Nazis, white supremacists, and that's fine, we do too, but he pretty much put all the blame on Charlottesville at the feet of the people who were there to rally in defense of the great Christian General Lee. And then, after that only invited more media attacks and apparently made Trump feel weak, he came back with an incredible assist. He spoke the truth. He said, you have a group on the other side that came in charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent. When it was asked if he was comparing the alt-left to neo-Nazis, Trump said not all of the people there were neo-Nazis. He followed up by saying, this week it's Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. I wonder, is it George Washington and Thomas Jefferson next week? Where does it stop? Folks, we don't have time to play excerpts from his press conference tonight, but we have posted the entire press conference that he held at Trump Tower at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. It was the most amazing thing. I will tell you that Donald Trump showed more courage this week than any American president has since Jefferson Davis. That's what he did. For any shortcomings Trump has had as a president since his inauguration, which I was at with Jared Taylor, front row, he absolved himself of it, in my opinion, with his statements this week on the Confederate monuments. He compared Robert E. Lee to George Washington, and rightly so. He said the statues were beautiful and wouldn't be replaced with anything comparable. Boy, was he prophetic, because guess what happened? Oh, the city of Baltimore went in the middle of the night a couple of nights ago and removed two beautiful monuments of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, threw them in the city dump, and replaced them with a statue of an anonymous black woman. Pregnant black woman. Okay, so there's that. And I did read one story where people who are going around, these mobs that are going around desecrating Confederate monuments, that actually sandblasted the face of Abraham Lincoln, thinking he was a Confederate. So for any of you that maybe tuned in tonight, you're so stupid, first of all. But if you are listening, I just want you to know Abraham Lincoln was the greatest Confederate that there ever was. So please go after his money in this verse. Last thing. Hey, but the Yankees have actually come out more equivocally in favor of the Confederates than any of these scallywag and carpetbagger mayors in the southern towns.
Like Gettysburg, of Charlottesville.
Gettysburg officials, Confederate monuments are here to stay, period, full stop in the story. And then I read another article, Donald Trump is a Nazi sympathizer because of his defense of the Confederate monuments. Nazi is, of course, now defined as anyone who the lying press hates. But the last thing I want to share before I toss this back over to Keith, there was a poll that was put out after Trump's press conference in which he defended the Confederate monuments and said that they needed to stay, that we shouldn't remove the monuments and their beauty. A poll was conducted by National Public Radio, the Public Broadcasting System, and Marist, hardly friends of conservatives. Are you in favor of keeping Confederate monuments? 62% said yes. 62% in this polarized political climate, not 62% of Southerners, 62% of all Americans said yes, keep the monuments. 27% said no. 11%
said not
sure.
But what do these boobs from flyover country know, say our elites? They're going to say, like Rousseau said, sometimes people need to be forced to be free. So that's what the know-it-alls on the left think about all of this. The thing that I think is most important about the whole fallout from Charlottesville is that we now know they've lifted their skirt. We know what their tactics are. First of all, they cannot let authentic voices of the alt-right or the Unite the Right coalition speak, because they know that if they are allowed to speak, they will convince people and they will change them. Now, Donald Trump, my two Southern Baptist friends here will appreciate this analogy, had altar call this week. Basically, he had a true conversion experience. I think he now knows that there is no future in cucking to the left. There's nothing to be gained except showing your throat to a wolf when you try to concede the positions that the left takes, like the Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan were in charge of the Unite the Right rally. The main reason to oppose that is that it simply was not true. What was actually going on there is that the people from the Unite the Right were people like the League of the South, even Sons of Confederate Veterans people were there, people from National Policy Institute, people from Red Ice TV, people from all other types of groups across the whole panoply of right-wing activism. Occidental Descent had people there. There are all sorts of Matt Heimbach's Traditional Workers Party.
For the most part, good, wholesome people. Now, if you have thousands of people at any game, a movie theater, or a political rally, you're going to have people that you wouldn't invite into your home. But
there might be a burglar or a murderer out there. You know, remember Phil Collins found a murderer at his concert one day.
Well, if you go to an NBA game, I'm sure there's a pedophile in the crowd of 20,000. Does that mean everybody in the NBA arena is a pedophile? And that's what we got.
Or if there's a Nazi or a Klansman attending a New York Knicks basketball game, are you going to say that the New York Knicks basketball game was a gathering of Nazis and Klansmen?
Well, that's exactly what the press is doing here. But Keith, I want to ask you quickly, because we're coming up on a break, and Eddie's got the next segment, and you don't want to miss it. But your response, your reaction to Trump's incredibly inspiring press conference, I tell you, that's the man I voted for. That's the man I was proud to fight for, even while he was denouncing
When he's got all his handlers out, I tell you what it was like. It was like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. His first press conference was too cold. His next one was too hot. And the third one was just right.
That's right. Hey, I was inspired beyond measure. There is no other candidate, no other president in the last 150 years.
Well, there's nobody on our side except the most powerful man in the United States, the president of the United States.
He's
come around now. And I think he's had a transformation. Hopefully Jeff Sessions has too.
Yeah, Jeff Sessions cucked pretty hard.
He did at first, but then on the other hand, he hasn't had another press conference. But he's obviously watching Donald Trump, and he's seeing the great response, the validation he's getting from flyover country and most Americans to his hardline position against the liars of the left. The left is basically seeing their world dissolve before their eyes. People no longer believe anything that CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, whatnot says. And for example, his comments about Jefferson on Monday night. PBS had a interview with Charlie Rose, that little simpering snob, and Al Sharpton, where they actually discussed taking down the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., and Charlie Rose never registered any opposition to it, and that's what got Trump on his jag against this. He's absolutely right. If, you know, the thing wrong with the Confederate cause was slavery, well, guess what? Washington, Jefferson, and Madison, and all these founding fathers
everybody
were slavers, too.
Everybody before 1965 was a white supremacist by the standards of the current year. We got to take a break. Folks, oh, my goodness. You got to listen to the whole 3 hours tonight. We haven't even started. We'll be back with more. You got to hear the next segment, too, though.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Fun to game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to wind up more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale, and it's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Oh, I wish I was in a land of cotton. Old times there are and not forgotten. Look away, look away. look away, Dixieland.
Sing it, fellas.
Oh, I wish I was in Dixie, away. For Dixieland, it's where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn, look away, look away, Dixieland.
All right. Hey, listen, folks, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Did you hear that song? You know that's American Trilogy by Elvis, his rendition of Dixie included. This week was Elvis Week in Memphis. Now, let me develop my thoughts, and I'll tell you how this ties into everything we're talking about. So it was Elvis Week in Memphis. Elvis Presley died 40 years ago this week on August 16th, 1977. So this was Elvis Week, and much more than a regular Elvis Week, which is held every year in Memphis on the anniversary of his death. This one was the 40th anniversary of his death. So it was an extra big production. There was a concert on the night of his death this week on Wednesday at the FedEx Forum, which is the big NBA arena here. It was Elvis live in concert. Now, you may be asking, how is he live in concert when he's been dead 40 years? Well, what they did was... There you go, Keith's making it. Okay, I'm not going to say that. Anyway, what they did was they have videos of him live in concert from other shows from when, of course, he was alive, and they pull out all the music. And what it is just Elvis's vocals of him live in concert, different songs from different performances, backed by a live orchestra. So the music you heard was live. It was the Memphis Symphony Orchestra live in concert, playing the music live with Elvis's vocals on the big screen. It sold out. 20,000 people were there. Priscilla Presley was there. Priscilla Presley came out to introduce the concert. She came out after intermission, and she came out before the last song. The last song, now keep in mind, this happened 3 days ago, this Wednesday. She came out before the grand finale in this politically charged environment with the Confederate monuments being under such attack. Priscilla Presley came out in downtown Memphis this week and said, Elvis loved this song more than any other because he loved the South.
Golly.
And then the band played American Trilogy. I was there. How do I know this? I was there. We actually had people come in town this week, lifelong friends of ours who are big Elvis fans. They wanted to come in town for the concert, so we hosted them and we took them to the concert. I was there. I saw this with my own eyes. I saw people across the crowd there in the audience standing up with their hand over their heart during Dixie. I saw them saluting. And they went nuts for it. And that happened this week. And let me tell you what else happened this week with our friends in town, the big Elvis fans that they are. We went to Sun Studio, where Elvis recorded his first record, where he got made by Sam Phillips. If you don't know this, Sun Studio is immediately adjacent to Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave. If you walk out of Sun Studios facing Union Avenue and walk one block to the left, you are at Nathan Bedford Forrest Park, where his grave is. And let me tell you what else I observed this week. In addition to the fact that at the Elvis Live concert they played Dixie and the crowd went wild with approval, that Priscilla Presley came out to endorse it to say that Elvis loved this song because he loved the South, what else did I see this week? At Forest Park, I went to Forest Park. I went there twice, actually, with my company. We went downtown to buy tickets to the Sun Studio tour because it was very crowded this week because of all the Elvis fans in town. And we walked over to Forest Park, and I saw a stream of Elvis fans who had come into Memphis as tourists for the events from all over the world. I saw a stream, and and I know they were Elvis fans because they were wearing Elvis T-shirts and hats and paraphernalia, coming over to Forrest's grave to take pictures of it, to take pictures with it, to honor it. And I know that they were there in full respect and admiration because of the way they carried themselves and because of conversations I had with them. Then we went back and took the tour after we had lunch several hours later, and we went back to Forest Park, and there were still a stream of Elvis fans coming out of Sun Studio going and honoring Nathan Bedford Forrest. Folks, what the media is presenting to you is not at all a reflection of what the general public feels about our history, our music, Dixie, our monuments. We know that it's not because of this poll that we cited the last segment, and I am sharing with you a very personal observance of what I saw at this concert and at Forest Park, not once but twice in the past week. Now, I understand there's, you know, some people down there today probably getting paid $25 an hour to desecrate the monument. And what I also saw was police protection at Forest Park. Not that they needed any because there were no demonstrators there that were in opposition, but the police were there keeping watch over our general. Anyway, incredibly encouraging personal observances on multiple occasions this week from how the general public reacted to Dixie and to Forrest. Eddie, respond to that, and then you've got the rest of the segment.
Well, I'll share, since you started off that way, sometimes we have to switch gears coming into the radio station. I had a lot of notes prepared, but when you're in the news business, you have to be able to react. You have to be able to react and overcome. Anyway, I'll share a personal experience with you, James, and you and Keith may not know this either, but the worst sunburn I ever had in my life was when I was 9 years old, and it just so happened it was in Forest Park. There used to be a wading pool there back in the 50s. And I slipped off from home, which is I often did. And I went down there, and I stayed in that wading pool all day. And you don't realize that you're getting sunburnt like that. It's kind of like, you know, the old proverb, when you put a frog in the pot and you start turn the water up, you know, turn the heat up real high. Well, anyway, when I got home, I was so sick. I had fever. I was vomiting and everything like that. But you're right. And also in those days, I remember when, getting back to Elvis, James, I remember when Elvis Presley was a nobody, when they used to come around these, they looked like laundry trucks, kind of like vans. They used to use them to haul groceries and laundries in it. And I remember once again, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, living on East Mortal, where the interstate runs there now in Memphis. You people in Memphis know what I'm talking about, but the rest of you won't. But I remember playing this song, and I was young enough. I wasn't into rock music, but our older friend was talking about it. We said, well, who is that guy? And they said, well, some guy named Elvis Presley, you know, went to Humes High School. And also, James and Keith, you know, as you well know, Humes High School, where Elvis Presley went to school, is not that far from Forest Park. And one reason why Elvis Presley might have loved the South so much is because he was born and raised in the South. And everybody here knows he was born and raised dirt poor in a town called Tupelo, Mississippi, which is, I guess it's about 100 miles west southeast of here. And later on, when he was old enough to go to school, they came to Memphis. And pretty much the rest is history. But, yeah, you know, Elvis came from a different era. I've never heard anybody speak ill of him. He was very generous.
And, you know, I'll tell you another thing about Elvis, not to interrupt you, Eddie, because we only have 2 minutes left, and I want to give you your time. But one thing about Elvis that I always loved, not only was he born in the same county as my maternal grandparents and all of that that you just mentioned, but he made it bigger than anybody who's ever made it big. He was probably the preeminent celebrity superstar that there's ever been as far as an entertainer is concerned, and he never left Memphis. He didn't trade in Memphis to go to New York or L.A. or anywhere else in the world. He lived and died in the South.
And he's been dead for 40 years, and people still come here, but thousands come from all over the world. You know, I'd like to also chime in about what you and Keith talked about the last segment. If there's one thing we found out here recently with Charlottesville and with the what's happening with the attacks on the President Trump, on our president, is we smoked out all these fake conservatives, all these fake Republicans, senators, like, for instance, Senator Corker here in Tennessee. Senator Corker has come out and said that Donald Trump is incompetent. We have a lot of other attacks, probably for the same ones like McCain. Hopefully McCain won't be around with us much longer. It looks like.
Because we hope he lives forever, but loses the next election is what we're talking about.
But, you know, yeah, amen to that, son. But, you know, we see these people coming. We've been smoked out. And people, that's your cue right there, who not to vote for. Get the anybody that's attacking Trump right now for supporting the South, for telling the truth. He wasn't just attacked for supporting for the South. He was attacked for telling the truth. Like James said, he told the truth. He told almost the truth. There was not two bad sides in Charlottesville. I was there. We had one good side. Did we have a few clowns down there? Maybe. I didn't see them because I couldn't see the whole thing. But he told pretty much that he told the truth closer to the truth than anybody else has said it. And the people that are attacking him, and they know they're lying. And so you need to take notice of all these so-called Republicans that attack him, and you need to destroy them at the ballot box in the next election.
And, of course, Eddie, everybody's focusing on the death, and we're sad that that occurred, but that wouldn't have occurred had it not been for the setup by the conspiracy between what we believe the Charlottesville city government and the governor of Virginia.
I think the news would make you think they're focusing on that.
And making sure that there was no police protection and safety. Anyway, we're going to come back with Eddie at the next segment.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.